Shalom, brethren. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Today is Sunday, the 28th of August, 2022. And on the Hebrew calendar, it's Rosh Kodesh. It's the very first day of the Hebrew month called Elul. Elul. Hallelujah. So this very first day of the Hebrew month called Elul began yesterday, Saturday. Well, on the Gregorian calendar, it began yesterday, Saturday, the 27th of August at sunset. So as soon as Shabbat finished, Rosh Kodesh started. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This, according to Genesis chapter 1, is the 12th month of the year. However, according to Exodus chapter 12 verse 1 to 2, it's the 6th month of the year. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, because on the civil calendar, which is the Genesis 1 calendar, this Hebrew month called Elul is the 12th month of the year. That means that today marks the beginning of the 40-day fasting period. Remember the audios we shared a few weeks ago when we were talking about Tammuz 17, Tisha B'Av, so the 9th of Av, and Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av. In those audios, we spent quite a bit of time talking about the Hebrew calendar and the month of Elul, including the month of Elul. And I did say in those audios that once the Hebrew month called Elul begins, we start fasting and praying in preparation for the judgment season. And the judgment season is the season of the holy rapture to the heavens. It's also the season of judgment. So this Hebrew month called Elul is the month in which we spend time waiting on Yah, confessing our sins categorically in preparation for judgment day, which is Yom Kippur, at the Day of Atonement. We deal with various aspects of our lives in preparation for the holy rapture to the heavens. So it's a preparation for the wedding supper of the Lamb. And this is one of the reasons why we spend time reading and studying the book of the Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, as well as study other holy biblical scriptures as led by the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit, also known as Shekinah glory, also known as Imaya, the God the Mother, also known as Wisdom. Hallelujah, or Chokmah. Now, I just thought I should try and do an audio today to touch on this issue of Rosh Kodesh, the New Moon Festival. It's also a fast fruit festival. So as we have shared in the past, there is the fast fruits festival, the great fast fruits festival, Habikurim, Yom Habikurim, or Hayom Habikurim, which is all about the resurrection of the one and only true Messiah, whose original name is Yahushua HaMashiach. However, he is most popularly known as Jesus Christ worldwide. So Hayom Habikurim, which is the great fast fruits festival, usually occurs in a Hebrew month called Nisan, also known as Aviv. Aviv means spring, and that's the season in which the barley harvest occurs. That day is 3 days after the Passover begins. Hallelujah. So it's all the way back in April, the month of April. Though sometimes it can occur in March, but Usually, we celebrate Passover and fast fruits in the month of April on the Roman Gregorian calendar. So now that we are in the Hebrew month called Elul, we are looking at forgiveness. This is a season of Selicha or Selichot. Selicha is the singular in Hebrew, which talks about seeking forgiveness. And Selichot is the plural Hebrew, which also talks about forgiveness. So as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, so Rosh Kodesh is the head of the month. Kodesh is month. Rosh means head. While Rosh Hashanah is all about New Year's Day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are preparing for New Year's Day, also known as Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah is the day of the sounding of the shofar, or the, well, we call it trumpet, but a trumpet and a shofar are two different things. A shofar horn is made out of sheep's horn or a ram's horn, whereas, well, actually, ram, not sheep, because sheep don't have, the sheep is the, sheep tends to be a general term for the animal, but in actual fact, the male is the ram, and the female is called the ewe, so E-W-E, ewe. Now, the shofar horn is made out of sheep's horn. I'll just say sheep, but normally it's the ram's horn, because it has to be the male. Because it's males that tend to have horns, even when you see with cows. Cows don't have horns, but bulls do. So it's the males that tend to have horns. And the reason why it has to be a male is because it's significant of Isaac or Yitzhak, the son, the promised son of Abraham. This is all about, it goes back to the Yom Kippur, where the binding of Isaac occurred as per Genesis, I think Genesis 22 on Mount Moriah. When Yahweh told Isaac through Holy Angel Michael that stop, you know, he stopped him from sacrificing Isaac. The ram, there was a ram in the thicket that was used to replace Isaac. And Yahweh decreed that day that as the ram was being sacrificed, the horn would be used to make a shofar horn that would be used to communicate with the children of Israel in the future, as per Yahweh's instructions. So it would be used on the Day of Atonement to signal, to call for forgiveness from Yahweh. That is why there's a very special shofar horn blowing on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and also on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the day of the sounding of the shofar. Those 10 days are about judgment, from Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah to Yom Kippur. Those 10 days are about judgment, so we are in the process of seeking forgiveness both before those days and during those days. And when we are ending Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, we tend to end it with a great blowing of the shofar horn, which signals that we have been forgiven by Yahweh and that judgment will not be dished out against us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yah. So this is the season of hearing the shofar horn being blown. Mandarabo shika yandarabo sete yandarabo shanda. Father, we give you praise for this special season. Masekerebo shandarababosa. Ribo sika yandarabo rekerebo shandarababa. Mandarabo rokoraba shekerebo sita yandarabo sandarababosa. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we have prayed. So brethren, we give praise unto Yahba Abba Yahweh for enabling us to live to this day. This is a great day of joy, Rosh Chodesh. It's a day of the renewal of the moon. Hallelujah. It's a day on which ladies are to have a day off from house chores. Masakayanda rebo shikayanda. This is a day to celebrate the resurrection of Yahushua HaMashiach on a monthly basis. I think I have jumped. I remember I was talking about Yom HaBikurim earlier on, and I was trying to explain that there is the yearly Yom HaBikurim, or Festival of First Fruits. There is also the monthly Festival of First Fruits, or Yom HaBikurim, which is Rosh Chodesh, the head of the month. Hallelujah. So we can see, as we learned during the Passover season, that we, you know, Yahweh has created his calendar in such a way that we find ourselves celebrating the resurrection of Yahushua HaMashiach on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, and on a yearly basis. I've sort of forgotten. Okay, I remember now, because I was interrupted by my son, but I remember now. I was talking about the resurrection of Yahushua HaMashiach, who is also known as Jesus Christ, is celebrated on a weekly basis. So every Shabbat, which is Sunset Friday to Sunset Saturday, and then every month on the very first day of the month, which is Rosh Chodesh, or New Moon Festival, also known as First Fruits Festival. And then you've also got, I'm trying to put the phone on silent. I forgot to do so before starting the audio. Then we've also got the yearly Yom HaBikurim, or First Fruits Festival, which is 3 days after Passover, and we celebrate the resurrection of Yahushua HaMashiach. So there's a constant reminder that the God of heaven and earth, the true and only one living God, is all about life. He's all about Chai. Chai. Chai is the Hebrew word for life. Hallelujah. However, sometimes it can appear as Chaim. Chaim, like in a certain in a certain scripture, in, I've forgotten now, maybe Proverbs, no, I've forgotten, but it's in the Old Testament, and it's, there's a song we sing out of it, during the last day of Sukkot. It's about Mayim Chayim Besa soul. So it's all about come and draw living waters. Mayim is water, Chaim is life. And it's a very beautiful song which we tend to sing during that time. It's connected to John, I've forgotten now, I think John chapter 7, where Yahushua Mashiach attends that special celebration on the very last day of Sukkot, the festival of Sukkot, or the appointed time of Sukkot, which is also called tabernacles, or temporary shelters, or huts, H-U-T, huts, H-U-T-S. It's that's the season in which we commemorate the journey of the Israelites through the wilderness and living in temporary shelters. You know, we praise Yah for his preservation and provision during that season, and we remember that we are to put our trust completely in him. Hallelujah. When you live in a grass thatched house, you know, which cannot shield you from rain and sunshine as such, and you have to depend on Yahweh for your food because there's no shops, you have to depend on him for clothing, for shoes, then you will understand what it means to be grateful to Him. You will also understand that He is the only true living God that can really love us truly. Hallelujah. So, Mayim Chayim Besa, so will you come and draw living waters? That's the time when Yahushua said He offers living waters for us to drink. And when we drink of the waters, the waters will flow out of us. Life-giving streams will flow out of us. So He's trying to say to us that when we drink of Him, we'll be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. And then we'll experience much joy within us, because then we will live in accordance with His will. We'll be able to hear and be guided by Ruach HaKodesh and fulfill the will of Yah. So this is, I would have played the song, but unfortunately I don't have another device with me just now which I can use to play the song, but hopefully I'll be able to play it in the future and we'll be able to sing it. But it's a very beautiful song. I love it so much. It's very, very few words actually that are said in that song. Just, you know, it's like a round or a rhyme. Now, yesterday was Shabbat Re'eh. Re'eh means see or behold. That is the 47th Torah portion in the annual Jewish cycle of Torah portion of Torah reading, and that's from the fourth book of the book of Deuteronomy or Devarim, which is the fifth book of Torah. And so basically we are now reading the book of Deuteronomy, which means we are coming to the end of the Torah reading year. This is the time when we are preparing, the children of Israel are preparing to enter the promised land, and Moshe is saying bye-bye to them. He's summarizing everything that was said in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And He's also bidding them farewell. He is handing over to Yahushua, the son of Nun, also known as Joshua. So it's a time when a lot of things are being said, which, you know, the children of Israel need to remember by the grace of Yah. And or repeatedly read and memorize as per Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the Torah shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. And be diligent in doing what it says you should do. So yesterday, last week was Akev. I think this yesterday was the fourth portion of the book of Deuteronomy. I've forgotten what the one that preceded Akev was. But I know that it's not been long since we started reading this book of Deuteronomy. It started during the month of Av. So this Torah portion, Re'eh, we were not able to share much yesterday, but it's about the eye, the positive eye and the negative or the evil eye. As well, but it's also about blessing and curses. So if you've been reading the book of Deuteronomy from when we started, you will notice that Yahweh is constantly presenting blessings, the option to choose between blessing and curses right throughout the Torah portions. Each Torah portion touches on that in a way. In this Torah portion, Moshe also goes ahead to instruct the Israelites in the laws that they were to observe, including the law of a single centralized place of worship. Moshe warned against the following of other gods and their prophets, and set forth the laws of kashrut. Kashrut is to do with what we eat, tithes, and the sabbatical year. the Hebrew slave, the firstborn animals, and the three pilgrim festivals. Hallelujah. So for me, the most significant chapters in this Torah portion are chapter 12 and chapter 16, or chapter 12, chapter 14, and chapter 16. The Torah portion was Deuteronomy 11:26 to 16:17. Now, chapter 12, chapter 14, and chapter 16 are often misunderstood in terms of tithing. You know, some people go ahead and say, no, though we're not supposed to tithe, that that is what the Lord is saying. But no, that's not what the Lord was saying, actually. The Lord was specifically talking about the Hebrew festival called Sukkot or Tabernacles. And, you know, was instructing the children of Israel on how to, you know, tithe during those festivals. Now, which means the tithing rules vary from festival to festival and throughout the year. So we tithe throughout the year, but there are special ways to tithe during the festivals. The one of the Sukkot is laid out in chapter 12, 14, and 16. Hallelujah. So that was yesterday's Shabbat, and now, was being a Sunday, we have started a new week. And this new week is being started with the Hebrew month called Elul. Elul is the month of the Hebrew tribe called Gad. I'm running out of time on this audio, and I don't know if I'll be able to do another audio, but I'll just try and quickly tell you what this month is about. It's the month of mercy, the Hebrew tribe of Gad, the appointed time of mercy from the hand of Yah. This is the month in which the king is in the field. Remember, I said earlier on that we read the book of Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs in this book, and that in this month, and that is where the title, the king is in the field, comes from. So he's in the field, he's calling us to run away with him and do the final work we're supposed to do before we get raptured to the heavens. He's preparing his bride to be raptured to the heavens. Hallelujah. The month to fix what is broken. Remember that last month, Av, was the month in which Yahweh broke things down and he starts to reconstruct. And that's why we have Tisha B'Av, the day on which the two holy temples were destroyed and the walls of Yerushalayim were breached successfully by the Chaldeans or Babylonians, and later on by the Romans. Hallelujah. The one that is done by Nebuchadnezzar is clearly mentioned in the holy biblical scriptures. However, the one that was, you know, fulfilled as a result of the prophecy given by Yahushua HaMashiach in Matthew 24 verse 1 to 2, is only spoken about in the works of Josephus, particularly the book of the wars. The works of Josephus contain various books. One of them is called The Wars of the Jews. The other is The Antiquity of the Jews. And then there are other books that talk about the history of the Jews ever since Yahushua HaMashiach ascended to the heavens. So that is the only place you can get the details as to how Vespasian destroyed the second temple. Now, Tisha B'Av is all about that. And then Tu B'Av is the day of joy. So Tisha B'Av is also the day on which the ten spies sinned against Yahweh, and the judgment of 40 years began. Hallelujah. So remember, Yahweh said that only Yahushua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, would enter the promised land out of the older people, the people above age 20, and then the ones below age 20 would be the ones to enter with them. So this audio is coming to an end. I need to round this up. I only diverted a bit to let us know that was the month to destroy and to reconstruct, the month of Av, which is the month we have ended yesterday, and now we are in the month of fixing what is broken. Okay, Shabbat. Okay, Shalom, and then I'll continue in the next audio. Shalom.